Now let us all seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we give Thee thanks that when we come to Thee, we are not coming in vain. But we come to Thee who has that man at Thy right hand, Jesus Christ, who makes intercession for us. We come to Thee through our great High Priest and Mediator, who shed His blood for us. And O Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that Thou wilt draw sinners as Christ intercedes for them unto Thee. Lord, we pray that today we might have that miracle of drawing, miracle of life-giving to some here, and then bless the believers, O God, to be built up, to be strengthened in their faith in the message of salvation, in the message of Jesus Christ, in the person and His work. We pray that Thou wouldst then bless the preaching of Thy word, not only here, but elsewhere, O God. May there be good sowing of the word and a good watering from heaven. And then we shall for sure know that there will be growth. So bless for Christ's sake. Amen. Friends, let us turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 7. Luke 7. And the verses that I want you to consider this morning with me are found in verses 31 to 35. Here our Lord Jesus Christ compares Himself and John the Baptist to those who are calling upon others, and yet they are being criticized. He's saying that the message that we are declaring, the invitation that we are giving, it is being criticized by those who have already made up their mind that they won't hear. Friends, even though people are very different from animals or other creatures, because, of course, God has given us reason. God has given us the faculty of the mind to think. God has given us a conscience. God has given us a soul. Even though we have these things, but people don't always do what is most reasonable thing to do. You can confess that yourself. I can confess that myself. Have you ever made some sort of a foolish decision? Some sort of a rash decision, very quickly, and soon to find out that it was a rash decision? Are you in the habit of doing that? Quickly making decisions, without much thought, without much prayer. And then when you come to it, you think, it was not reasonable. I should have thought more carefully. I should have sought counsel. I have done it plenty of times. You have done it as well. We are often in this kind of a habit. And why is that? Why is that? Because naturally people want to please themselves. They do what is pleasing to their own mind. We think too highly of ourselves. We think we know what we ought to be doing. But what we do is what we prefer to do. Whenever we have kind of a prejudice about something, whenever we have some sort of bias and have our preconceptions and ideas and or our interest in something, if it is criticized and dashed, we won't want to hear it. And people like that, they can't be, at that time, can't be won over. And even though you may be able to reason and argue in the best way to choose what is right and true and factual, or when you reason with them to do what is simply their duty, people won't move an inch. They won't move at all because they've already made up their mind that they won't do that. Whatever people might say. That was the story of most of the Pharisees. Not all of them, but most of the Pharisees, most of the Sadducees in Jesus' times. And the Lord told them what they were like. He says, do you want me to tell you what you are like? Do you want me to tell you prejudiced, biased
Pharisees what you are like?
Well, I'll tell you, he says. You're like the immature and ignorant children who wouldn't listen to their friends to take part in a game. Your friends are saying, come here, this is fun, this is joyful, this is a happy thing. You won't listen. You don't want to enjoy the fun things. The friends did what they could to attract them, to join them. They played their pipes, but they wouldn't listen. And he says, that's what you are like. You Pharisees are like just like that. In children, the Lord Jesus Christ sees miniature men, small people. And in men, he sees grown-up children. Our Lord says this in verse 32, they are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. Now, what is this about? The Lord Jesus Christ is using the things that were happening then, in those days, the custom of those days. The custom of those days was to play the pipe at marriages and at funerals. They used to play, of course, cheerful and happy tunes in times of celebration, but then at funerals, it was all very somber, all very quiet. Sad tunes would be played. And the children in the market would try to enact these things, would try to act like the adults, what they did. Do you not, boys and girls, do you not do certain things? Try to, for example, say, this is my house, and this is the room, this is a bedroom, and you put your dolls there, you put your various items, or if some of your older children, you remember days you used to do that. You used to gather up all your dolls together and all your animals together, and you would play the farmer, or some of you adults are still, you collect cars or something. I'm talking about toy cars. And people, children, pretend to play some sort of a game and that the adults do. And this is what they used to do. That they would come together and play some sort of a game of a marriage, or they would enact a funeral game. And their friends, the Lord is saying, they wouldn't come to play with them. Now, when John the Baptist, who came and preached clearly that there is one who is coming, who is the Lamb of God, who is coming to take away sin of sinners in this world, and he charged people, and he spoke bluntly with people about their sin, and spoke about the judgment of God that is coming. Now, when John the Baptist came, who... for some people, he didn't seem to be very happy. He didn't seem to be very very joyful. But people saw him as somebody who is morbid. And then they say, but we want somebody who is joyful and happy. Not so serious, not so somber. But then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he came with mild, he's gentle in his spirit. He came and embraced sinners. Sinners could touch him. He came with a joyful spirit, we could say. They wanted the opposite. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them, you are just like those children. Who, whatever other your friends do and try to invite you, you would not have it. Whatever they do, you want the opposite of it. You're unreasonable children. You can't be pleased. So he says, you are fault finders. You are the critics of whatever people say and whatever John said, whatever I say. You've made up your minds to join only people who think the same as you, but others who are inviting you, you won't join them. And that is the story, that is the truth about those who criticize the gospel. Gospel critics are like that. And that's what the Lord is addressing. He's addressing Pharisees who didn't believe. They are gospel critics. And that's what something I want us to think about this morning. We live in a world that is very critical of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe such were some of us. Maybe some of us sitting here this morning, or maybe you are sitting here this morning, and there are certain issues that you cannot get over. Certain things in your mind, and you say, I cannot accept what Jesus Christ is because of this and that. Even though invitations are sent out to come to Jesus Christ and trust in Him, repent of your sins and be saved. Now, the first thing I want us to think about is that of the way the gospel is received or not received by the critics. Friends, God has had from the beginning of time, since sin came into this world, used many, many gracious ways to urge people to receive His good news right at the beginning. And you have again and again throughout the Old Testament the message of salvation, that there is one coming. There is one coming. There is one who will come, who is the Messiah. These are the signs. This is where He would be born. This is how He would be treated. And so there was repeatedly these things were said. Then there was various signs were given. And so the Lord says that through these sacrifices, through the temple worship, through these all these ceremonies, as we have in the book of Hebrews explaining, they're all pointing to Jesus Christ. It wasn't the blood of bulls and of goats that would save them and cleanse them of their sin, but it is all pointing to that final blood which would be shed. That is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lamb of God. And all of these things are pointing the Old Testament, the Jews, to the Savior who was to come. And so God was giving gracious invitations and urging people to trust in Him and His way of salvation. And also then He gave many unfolding prophecies and spoke to them of the way a sinner is forgiven, to be made white as snow. All of these things were told then. But when the time came near, God sent John the Baptist, a great prophet, to prepare people's minds, prepare the way of the Lord. And Isaiah speaks of it, Malachi speaks of it, that there is one coming, and this is what he would say, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And then what happened? And then the Savior came, Jesus Christ, born in such wonderful way, miraculous way. And he, through his life, he confirmed all of those prophecies, and his word and his work proved that he is the Son of God. And he showed what was true. And when he did many miraculous works and helped people, desperate people, to see that he is the only one who would show them mercy, then he sent out these poor fishermen. He gave them power to do miracles and to do sign gifts, to point again that these things are of the one who has already come. Not to point to themselves, but to point to Jesus Christ. And what they're preaching is authentic. And they preached the good news of Jesus Christ. They preached that the time has come, that God has chosen. Sinners are welcome to be set free. That's what they preached. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is what the Lord sent before in the Old Testament times and then in the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, this is what you are like. And again, let us read these words in verse 31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. But how is this message, the Lord is saying, how is this message, this wonderful message of salvation, how is it being received? In every place, this message has its critics. And by the critics, it is being rejected. They wouldn't receive it.
Now, we are sitting here this morning. Do we receive the word of God? Do you receive this message of salvation? The Jews were trusting and resting in the letter of the law. But they hated the spirit of the law. They wanted to just outwardly conform to it, but then inwardly, they thought, the spirit of it was another thing. They wanted to have the shadow, but rejected the substance. They didn't want the reality, the fulfillment. They didn't want the lifestyle to change. You think about it. It is foolish. It's unreasonable. That's why I said people do unreasonable things. You think about boys and girls. You have a gift given to you. And it is all wrapped up. Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it is some other occasion. It's all wrapped up. And the wrapping has all pictures of cakes and sweets in it. And what do you do with that? Do you say, I'll just keep the box and the wrapping? I like that. Look at the wonderful picture. It is shiny. It dazzles my eyes. It looks nice. The colors are lovely. And then you put away the gift. You reject the gift or you ignore the gift. You forget the gift, but you like the boxes. I know children and toddlers might do that. They'd rather play with the box. But think about it. You think that would be foolish to have the paper wrapping, but not have the gift itself. But you know, we do that with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people do that. They like the idea of it. They can see it is really changed people and lives. They can wonder about the fact that, yes, there is a Savior and there is a God. These things they understand. But to have it and for it to change their life and for them to humble themselves and repent of sin and be willing to die to self, they say that's too much. You see, that's the reality. It's a new life. It's a totally new life we are talking about. And so it is that whoever it was that preached that message, most of the great majority of that nation could not be won over. It was criticized, it was rejected, and the leader of that message, the person of that message, Jesus Christ, was nailed to the cross and he was crucified. And so what about now? Are people more spiritually minded, open-minded today about the truth of salvation than then? You ask yourself, what's your experience? What about your family members? People very much like outward ceremonies, religious practices of whatever form. But when it comes real, when it's talking about spiritual change and radical change of the heart, then they say that's too much. That becomes too personal, you see. But the issue is that in salvation of Jesus Christ, a new heart must be given. New life must be given. New sight must be given. Your whole person is changed, not just your clothing. It's not outward things that must be changed, but internally you are changed by the Spirit of God. You are made holy. You are sanctified. You become a son or a daughter of the living God. That's what happens. It's not just mere outward religion. But oftentimes we don't like to hear. I didn't want to hear it. I just like a little bit of ceremony, a little bit of lighting a candle or something like that. Many may profess Christianity in our day, but they don't have the substance. They just have the little wrapping, that's all. They have the form, the scripture says, but not the reality, not the power, the saving power of it. And so what there's a passing joy. There's a lot of excitement that takes place, but it's not a steady day-by-day joy in the Lord and the joy of the Lord being our strength. We don't see people who are truly rejoicing, deeply rejoicing. I'm not talking about their life circumstances being a happy one, but they themselves in their soul is blessed. They are blessed indeed because they have Jesus Christ. Now, they don't have any more chains around their heart or hand or feet in sin. They've been given the life of God. Friends, here it is that the Lord Jesus Christ says, the invitations went out. That these friends were sitting in the marketplace. It's a place where anybody could be passing by. All their friends were there. And the Lord Jesus' message goes throughout the world, saying, come. Come, this is a joyful message, but also it is a serious message. It has with it threatenings of the judgment of God, but also it has with it the wonderful promises of gospel and eternal life. These things are given to sinners and offered to them. Invitation is sent out. But if we pipe to them, they will not dance. If we mourn to them, they will not lament. And that is what we find in gospel critics. That's how they treat the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't be one of those. Don't be one of those. The Lord wants good for you and not evil. That's the first thing I wanted us to think about. The way the gospel critic responds, and I hope there wouldn't be anybody here who responds in this way when the message goes out and says, no, I don't want to hear that. But for you to, even you might be sitting there, and, I want to have these things. I desire these things. Well, the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the message. That's the promise. And if we humble ourselves and repent of sin, then the Lord has said that he will save us. We can't have it our own way, my friends. This is the thing. We want a God that fits into our pocket, it will fit into our wallet, it will fit into the thing that we want in our lives. And he says, no, I have to be the sovereign. I am the one in control. I am the one who saves. And so he requires us to trust in his Son. And he says to us, repent of sin. Turn away from it. Hate it. Sorrow over it. The second thing is this. The reasons of the gospel critic. The reasons that they give. As a whole people seem to say that the reason they rejected it is because of the way it is preached. That's what they said of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they said of John the Baptist. It's the way you do it. That's the problem, they would say. That was the charge that was laid against the prophets of old, including John and the Lord Jesus. They couldn't say anything really against what was being preached, but the way it was being preached. They looked at the personalities. They looked at the strangeness of those who preached the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ dressed normally, like any other man in that day. John the Baptist, he was a bit eccentric. He was the man of the desert. He lived locusts. Nobody ate locusts, we would say. And then he came and their style was different. And so what people saw was the style of the way, the method, but they couldn't really say it. They were quoting the scripture. They couldn't criticize the content of it so much. So what they said is what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us here. But however it came, neither of them could please these people. One of them was threatening. The other one was very affable and pleasing and social. They said, John has a devil. He hath a devil. And they said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a gluttonous man. He's a glutton. Look at how much he's sitting with sinners and he's eating with them. If you want to find the Lord Jesus Christ, you go into someone's house. He's somewhere there. In someone's house at a dinner table. That's the claim that they were making. It was false. And also he's a wine bibber. That is, he's a drunkard. He's sitting, eating, and drinking with sinners. And if you were to ask the people, they wouldn't have said, well, I hate the message that is being preached. I hate the gospel. And that's why I don't believe. I won't follow. No. But they were finding some kind of an outward fault with the person who preached it. And some outward thing. And you might say, well, I look at Christians, I look at the churches, and so on. You might find something in the way it is done here. Don't let that be the thing that causes you to stumble. Don't that let that be an excuse for you.
But do you know why is it that people will not believe and receive the truth and this good message unless the Lord comes with power upon them to save their soul? Do you know why is it?
Because
of what the scripture says, that we are blind by nature. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We talk about being totally depraved. That means that spiritually you are corrupted to the nth degree. That's why. Completely corrupt. Spiritually speaking, we cannot go towards God ourselves. That's why we need the Lord to come and pick us up. That's why we need a Savior. We don't need an instructor. We don't need a teacher. We need a Savior. And that is found in Jesus Christ.
There was a man in the week I spoke to. And he says, I just need to know what I need to do. The things I need to do. And I couldn't get through. The only thing that is required of you is to sense your sin and believe on Him. And he said, no, but if I just believe in Jesus Christ, then I can go and do whatever I want to do. I said, well, if you're a true Christian, that's not the way you think. He would change you from within, and you want to please Him. You want to serve Him. You've been given new life. You never want to displease Him because He's died for you. And I couldn't get through to him, sadly. He couldn't see it. That naturally speaking, we cannot do anything right spiritually. And so, friends, that is the reason why people will not believe. And so we look at these Jews with the benefit of having the opportunity to look at their lives and response to the Lord and the way they treated the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. But we are not thinking that the same thing is done today by us. But friends, what if it is working in us the same? Still, the truth of the matter is that we have imbibed notions which we don't like them to be criticized. Again, recently, this morning, I received a very critical message about something that I had said about judgment of God and the need of salvation. We have a lifestyle, we have a practice, which we don't want to change. We don't want to be criticized. We don't want to think about that. And we don't want people to pass judgment on those things and tell us what's wrong. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us. He says, don't be like them. Don't be like these people. See what I have done. Look at my life. Examine my life. I'm the Son of God. I came into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm the good shepherd who would lay his life down for the sheep. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He invited sinners to come to him. They said, this man receiveth sinners. What a wonderful thing. What a blessed thing it is that he receives sinners. If the Lord Jesus Christ passes judgment on you, don't be angry. Don't harden yourself up. This gospel, it teaches us humility. We humble ourselves. We accept that, no, I am naturally proud. I am naturally sinful. I do break God's word. I have many regrets. I have much guilt. The way I treat others at work, the way I speak, the way I do things in my family and so on, the way I am in private when no one else sees. And friends, when you think about these things and your conscience speaks to you, then instead of hardening up or trying to simply make yourself better, go to the one who is the Savior. And this is what we are inviting you to. This is what we are saying. There's a very serious message. At the same time, there's a wonderful melody of music of salvation that is given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the reason people won't come to Him is because men love darkness rather than light. Don't be like that. The final thing, very briefly, I will say is this. And here we have an encouragement of the preaching of the gospel. It's an encouragement to those who have rejected and criticized the gospel in the past that in God's grace, if the Lord shows mercy, they can also be saved. As long as we are alive and the preaching of the gospel goes on, there is hope.
So there's an encouragement to continue to preach. Even though there are gospel critics
who don't receive the message, who are left in the misery of sin. But we should be encouraged. Why? Because it says right at the end in verse 35, but wisdom is justified of all her children. Wisdom is justified of all her children.
When we speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are speaking about what the Bible says, the wisdom of God, the mystery of the wisdom of God. It is the only true wisdom. We are made wise unto salvation, Paul says to Timothy. And so this is the wisdom of God. The message of salvation is the wisdom of God. It humbles us. And it's through the foolishness of preaching of this message that God is pleased and ordains to save souls. What is it that God has shown to us in Jesus Christ? That every person, you and I, are in need of great help. We don't mean just a little nudge, but we need to be taken into the arms of the Lord and be saved. We are unworthy, hell-bound sinners. And because of God's holiness and justice, we must receive, rightly so, His punishment and wrath. But He's made a way for us to be saved. He's made a way through Jesus Christ. And so He says, I must save you altogether. I have to give you a new heart. I don't want just the outward things. I've said this before. You imagine that. You would think it is a foolish thing if you are driving your car somewhere and you know there is something wrong. There's a noise coming. And so you park the car somewhere. Maybe you're on the M5 or something like that. You often see people stopping. And imagine there's a noise. There's smoke coming out. And you go and you start wiping the windscreen. You check your mirrors. Then you start to look at your indicator lights. Do they work all right or not? And you're checking all of these side issues. The problem is the engine. The motor is the problem. That's the thing that needs to be changed, that needs to be fixed. You would think it is a foolish thing to simply look at all these side things, unimportant things. And yet the car doesn't go anywhere. And there are people like that, dealing with their soul, the problem of guilt and shame of sin. The problem is the engine of the heart. The problem is our nature. And it needs to come into right standing before God. To be pardoned. What a wonderful word that is. To be forgiven. And that is found in Jesus Christ. You know, I often feel and try to put myself in the place of the apostles when they were imprisoned. The Philippian jailer had locked them up. And then there was that great earthquake. And they rushed out while the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself. They rushed out and they spoke to him, stop. And he says, what must I do to be saved? They didn't go through explaining all the details of the salvation or anything like that. They didn't have time for that. But there was one thing they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what they said. The one who saves is Jesus Christ. All the details that are around it, you may not understand all of the points, but the one thing for you to take home with you, Jesus Christ is the Savior. I'm being invited to Him. I'm being called to rejoice and dance and spiritually and sing His praises, to be invited to Him spiritually. Friends, so what are we to do then this morning? The Lord is saying, here is a marketplace. Lord's Day, Sundays, were called in the olden times the market day of the soul. There's a message goes out. There's a song that is sung. There's a word that is spoken. This is the way of the Lord. This is the day, the acceptable day of the Lord for us to come to know Him. Friends, in conclusion, can you see how people are their own enemies? Can you see how there are people who might
look at the outward things and think, well, I don't like the way he preaches. I don't want like the way he dresses or the way this thing happens. Do you see how we can judge things?
And the Lord is saying, don't look at the outward things at the moment. Look at what my son has done. Can you find any fault with my son? Hear the invitation of the gospel and ask yourself, have I really been a receiver of it? Have I really trusted it? Is my life revolving around this truth that Christ is saved and he's given me new life? I don't want a Sunday Christianity, but my whole life, every day of my life, should be one that the Lord Jesus Christ is controlling and empowering, and then he's leading me to heaven. Listen, friends, to and learn and listen and obey the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word this morning. Is he calling you to rejoice? Rejoice because he has made a way of salvation? Is he calling to grieve over the fact that you have sinned against him? Is he calling you this morning to put things right in your life and go and follow him? Is he calling you to die to self, take up your cross daily and follow him? All of these things that he says, they're real things. They're life-transforming things. And what is the best thing? What is the best thing? When whatever the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to this morning, he says, he will be with us. He will not leave us. This is not something to say, you have to do this by yourself. He says, no, I will be with you always. And he says to us, yesterday and today and forever, I am going to be with you. I have been with you. My eye has been upon you. That's the promise, friends, of salvation. What a hopeful thing this is. The world this morning will have its own news. It will have its own things that is listening to, that is being repeated again and again throughout this day in the news channels. But sadly, this message of hope and salvation is not being preached. You are privileged then. You are privileged. This, you have entered into a marketplace this morning. And may you leave having your bags, now not only your bags, your heart full of this fruit of salvation and the blessing of the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ bids us to go. We thank thee that he has sent us prophets, and he has come at the end to bring us that final word. We thank thee what he says is true. And we ask that each one of us would humbly come and turn to him. Lord, bless every soul here. May our children grow up to be mature Christians. And may those adults who as of yet have not come to know the Savior come to find rest and forgiveness in him. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.